This is Jeffrey Sachs, editor of Tradition. Visit traditiononline.org to keep up to date with everything that's happening in the Journal of Orthodox Jewish Thought. While you're there, take out, renew, or gift a subscription to Tradition. Our summer 2024 issue contains a review by Menachem Kellner of Art Scroll's new anthology of Maimonidean philosophy, Kisvei HaRambam, Writings of Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, translated, annotated, and elucidated by Rabbi Yehuda Meir Kielsen. For Tradition Online, Kellner profiled The Guide to the Perplexed, a new translation by Len Goodman and Philip Lieberman from Stanford University Press, claiming it is destined to become the new standard for all engagement with the guide in English. Throughout much of his academic career, Kellner has tried to remind the academic community that Rambam was also a rabbi, profoundly drawing on the rabbinic literature and embodying and promoting halachic commitment. In the opposite direction, he hopes that more traditional audiences will increase their awareness of Maimonides as a thinker deeply rooted in the Arabic philosophical language and tradition of his day. With some critical reservations in place, he draws our attention to these works as exemplars of positive movement on these fronts. In this podcast, we discuss these books and his reviews, and we go off on a little tangent about how he got into this business in the first place, and the impact of his move to Israel in the 1980s on the shape of his academic interests and desire to communicate his positions to a larger Jewish and general audience outside of the Ivory Tower. Menachem Kellner is Wolfson Professor Emeritus of Jewish Thought at the University of Haifa and founding chair of Shalem College's Department of Philosophy and Jewish Thought. Visit traditiononline.org to read the two essays we discuss here and all of his contributions to our pages. Now, here's our conversation. Welcome to the Tradition Podcast, Professor Menachem Kellner.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege to be here.
Readers of Tradition, of course, are very familiar with your work in all fields of Jewish thought, but particularly as one of our generation's leading Maimonidean scholars. And recently, although you've contributed a number of things to our pages in the last few years, recently there are two items that we wanted to discuss with you today. One is a review of an interesting new work published by Art Scroll called Kisvei HaRambam, the Writings of Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, the Rambam, translated, annotated, and elucidated by Rabbi Yehuda Meir Kalinson. And the other is a review that you did for us at traditiononline.org, which is a profile, less a proper review, of a new translation of the Guide to the Perplexed, which was undertaken by Len Goodman and Philip Lieberman from the Stanford University Press. Two very different books coming at the Rambam from very different directions. And of course, that reminds us of the old saw, there's Maimonides, your Monides, his Maimonides, even Kellner Monides, and etc. And everybody kind of looks at the Rambam and somehow sees a reflection of himself. At some point in the review of the Kisvei HaRambam from Art Scroll, you say this act of looking into the mirror and seeing yourself works to greater or lesser degrees depending upon the mirror you're looking into. Even a funhouse mirror, which intentionally distorts, is meant to give the viewer an image back to himself, even as it warps the reality. So what are these mirrors, both the mirror of that Art Scroll is presenting, and in its own way, the new translation of the guide, and then we'll talk about each.
Okay. I guess it's fair to say that the mirror of the Art Scroll book, by the way, I start off the review by saying it's an important work.
And yes, despite and the fact that you have a number of serious criticisms of it, but it's clear that you think this is overall a positive development.
Absolutely. I mean, I have serious reservations, but it doesn't detract from the fact the book is an important book, especially in the context in which it was written. Now, my understanding of the book is that it seeks to mirror the Rambam as if he were a standard, shall we say, Eastern European Yiddish-speaking Rosh Yeshiva. Now, I'm exaggerating a bit, but
For all of the Rambam's greatness, indeed, his we must acknowledge his Yiddish was rather weak.
rather weak,
He
exactly.
spoke with a pronounced accent.
Yeah, Galician or Romanian, I'm not sure which, but in his case, he spoke with an Arabic accent, that's clear. So I think that's the main reservation I have about the book, aside from many details. But over the generations, many people have sought to, in effect, present the Rambam as if he agreed with them, whoever they might be. And it's clear, to my mind, it's clearly the intent of this Kisvei HaRambam book to present the Rambam as if he agreed with the worldview of the readers to whom our scroll aims its books. So I think that's one way of putting it. Now, of course, again, I don't want to detract from the immense amount of scholarship and effort that was put into putting this book. In the review, you'll see you have reservations about it, but it cannot be denied. Now, with respect to what you called a paraphrase when you spoke to me about it of the Rambam translation, not an actual review of the translation itself, but an introduction to understand what the translation is all about. Let me tell you something that one of my Shabbat chevruta told me. He reads everything I write, big compliment to me. He said, on the one hand, and this is with respect to the Art Scroll book, you attempt to prove to Jews that Rambam was a universalist in the sense that he thought that all human beings are created in the image of God and there is no innate, inherent, ontological difference between Jews and Gentiles. He said, on the one hand, that's one of the things you're trying to do. On the other hand, when you write to your academic colleagues, you're trying to prove that Rambam was, as my wife always tells me to say, was also a rabbi and not just a philosopher. So the point of my review of the Goodman-Lieberman translation was to point out that this translation presents the Rambam as truly a rabbinic Jew. And I think this is the defect in a lot of contemporary scholarship about Maimonides, because the people who write this are not writing about Rambam, they're writing about Maimonides. What I consider to be the standard translation for the last half century by the late Shlomo Pinnis, Olav Shalom, of the Rambam's Maor Nebuchim. Pinnis really saw the Rambam as a exemplar of 12th century, in effect, Arabic philosophy.
So there's actually something in the Kellner Maimonides, in your attempt in much of your scholarship, particularly in these later years, although going back quite early in your work, there's something quite Maimonidean about your Maimonidean work. In other words, we all understand that the Rambam aspired and put forth as a model this Shvil HaZahav, this golden path, this sense of balance. And part of what you're doing, both to right and left, is trying to make an argument. Well, to the academics, don't forget he was also a rabbinic scholar, he was also a rabbi. And to the audience of the Art Scroll book, you're trying to remind them of things that are left on the cutting room floor by presenting him in the manner that they do. And that's principally the whole world of philosophical study and the Arabic milieu in which he found himself. Is that a kind of fair sense of how you see your
Yes, absolutely.
yeah.
And I
But
didn't start out this way. I was forced into this. When I started my academic career, it was in general philosophy. I'd written a dissertation on civil disobedience and democracy, a philosophical justification, a true child of the 60s. But for a variety of reasons, I ended up teaching Jewish thought, and I'm very happy with that change. And in 1980, my family and I had the zchut to move to Israel, Eretz Israel to me, not Israel, to the state of Israel, to Haifa directly. And up to that point, my published work, it was mostly about Ralbag, Gersonides, and Yitzchak Abravanel. But when I got to Israel, I suddenly discovered that Rambam was not only an important medieval Jewish philosopher, he was the key to a lot of debates in Israel. And that more or less helped push me in the direction of learning more and more and more about Rambam. And the more I learned, the more I realized that I agreed with him. Not on every issue, of course,
Right. Well,
but
that's
that.
yeah. This is an interesting point, which I'd like to explore, and we'll come back to the books under review for a second. Is what were those issues for which you realized you needed to make a serious career investment in the study and teaching and exploration of
Well,
Rambam?
in the
What were those issues? What were
1980s,
those issues in the 80s here in Israel
right.
that were on the agenda? And then,
Well, one.
as a follow-up question, how do you think those issues or different issues would have presented themselves had you stayed behind in America? What's the path not taken from Menachem Kellner's academic life had he stayed in America?
Two interesting questions. About the first, in the 1980s, one of the big issues dividing the Orthodox Jewish community was the whole question of the land of Israel and its status and what to do with the occupied territories since 1967. Eretz Yisrael HaShlema, as opposed to territorial compromise. And I came to realize that a lot of the arguments were phrased in terms taken from Rambam, or at least should have been in terms taken from Rambam, and that the real debate turned out to be between two different conceptions of what Judaism was about. On the one hand, a conception that focuses on what my colleague Zvi Langerman calls hyperrealism, that distinctions in halakha reflect actual distinctions in the universe. And issues of tumah v'tahara, sanctity and non-sanctity, are distinctions in the world itself, as opposed to what I came to understand to be the Rambam's position, that these are not issues of reality, they're issues of halakha, and halakha does not reflect in what I call an antecedent ontological reality. It creates a social reality, and that meant that those people who favored, for whatever reason, territorial compromise, went to Rambam for their Jewish support. And people who opposed territorial compromise tended to go to Yehuda Levi and
So,
afterwards the Zohar.
help us understand that. Unpack that for our listeners who may not be following your distinction between reality, reality, and I'm putting quotes around that, and halakha.
This is hard to do briefly. I spelled it out in a book called Maimonides' Confrontation with Mysticism. Bad title. I had wanted to call it something even worse, but my publisher had been talking me into using that title. In any event, I'm not, as you know personally, I'm not good with titles, and you helped me with that also in the past. That's a 350-page book, so I'm going to summarize it in 2 minutes. There's a debate in Chazal and certainly in the scholarship on Chazal about the status of mitzvot. Are mitzvot reflections of true distinctions in the universe? The example I like to use is a Geiger counter. Let's say this is actually the wand of a Geiger counter. If I move it in front of it, something that's radioactive, it'll go click, 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 click. If I move it away, it'll be silent. Now, in principle, people who hold that the distinctions of halakha reflect actual ontological realities, it's a big fancy word, would have to say that we're possible to invent a tumamometer or a kedushometer. Then, if you put that wand from that device in front of something that was tameh or treif, it would go back, 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 back. And if you put it in front of something that was neither tameh nor treif, it would be silent. And the same way, also, if you put it in front of something which was kadosh, like Eretz Yisrael, then it would make the tat 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 sound. Click, 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 whatever you prefer. So that's the kind of distinction I'm trying to. Now, this is a distinction we find, according to a lot of many scholars who know Gemara, really know Gemara as opposed to me. think they find this in Chazal, debates within Chazal. But it's quite clear to me, and this has been the subject of a lot of what I've been writing over the last generation,
That Rambam does not
is
ascribe.
that for Rambam, the mitzvot create a social reality, and what makes Eretz Yisrael holy is the mitzvot tzviut bar. It's the mitzvot that you can fulfill here. That's why Eretz Yisrael is holy and Brooklyn is not. Even Lakewood is not.
Yes, no offense
My
to some of
favorite
our
example.
listeners.
Right. And this goes to a whole variety of issues, like the Hebrew language. According to Yehuda Levi, the Hebrew language reflects the actual words in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe.
The inherent uniqueness of the language.
Right. And that's why you can, and that's from that you can get to gematriot and seraphim and all kinds of uses of the Hebrew letters. Whereas Rambam quite explicitly says, and this annoyed Ramban, Nachmanides, a lot,
Yes, vengeance.
that Hebrew is it's not special. All languages are conventional, to use that current expression, and that Hebrew's uniqueness is that it has no native words in things.
Yes.
It's as if Hebrew is like Victorian English. You
Yeah.
can't speak about certain things.
Okay.
So this made Ramban crazy, but it's a reflection of Rambam's overall
Approach.
attempt to
Okay, so
demystify the universe.
this is an issue that presents itself, the reality of Israeli politics and polity and public life in the 80s presents you with ideas, and you find fertile ground in the Rambam, and then you move in that direction in your career. So just if I could
Right.
ask you briefly to speculate on
Oh, about
who's the parallel Mark Kellner still living
right.
in an American university, what areas of interest drew you in those directions?
I never thought about that, to tell you the truth. But I can make a few comments. First of all, thank God I'm not American academe anymore. I would be very uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable enough reading about it online, but if I were actually part of it, I would be going crazy.
Yes.
Beyond that, also, I'm convinced that what to where you called me a major Maimonidean scholar. I'm not sure that's fair. I know, without being all too much too, overly modest, I know a lot of
I have
people who
met
would
major
consider.
Maimonidean scholars and
Yes. I have met, right? I've met a bunch of, and like, and respect a bunch of true Maimonidean scholars. In any event, I have no doubt that my research has been enriched and also widened a lot because of Israel. For one thing, I teach texts in Hebrew.
Right.
Secondly, I have students who know what they're talking about. Certainly, not so much at Haifa for 30 years, but certainly for the last 10 years at Jerusalem College, I had students who were like my colleagues in the work I was doing. So I'm sure that had I stayed in America, I would have produced, I hate that word produced, but I would have written much less. And I think it wouldn't have been as interesting because it would not have been confronted with the reality of Judaism today.
Okay.
But beyond that, I mean, I started out with my first writings in books were Ralbag and Ravenel. I probably would have continued in that route.
Well, this has been an interesting trip down the autobiographical rabbit hole,
Right.
but let's get back to the books under review. First of all,
Right.
maybe help us understand this book, the Kisvei HaRambam from Art Scroll. It's a kind of anthology of translated, elucidated, annotated texts. But what's in there? And the selection of those texts, which I think we could all admit were formerly not so much on the center of the learning map within the world that
Right.
Scroll is servicing. What are those texts, and what's significant about putting them together in a volume like this?
That's one of the reasons that the book is so important. It exposes to Art Scroll's readership, which is huge, and smart people, learned in, I would say, a particular narrow aspect of Yiddishkeit, but
Okay, well,
in that aspect,
we all occupy narrow lanes. They just seem wide to us from our own perspectives.
that's a good point.
Right.
So, from my
Having
perspective,
admitted that you're not a major Talmudist,
yeah, right. Putting it
some of
mildly.
the audience of the Art School crowd would say the same about you, that you're
Yeah, they
knowledgeable, things
would.
you're knowledgeable about, and you're weak in other areas.
Yeah.
And some might say that weakness in in Talmud is a particular Achilles heel.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and they would be right. But if I may second, the difference between us is I read what they write, they don't read what I write. So I think that my lane is perhaps a drop wider than their lane.
Perhaps.
I have family in Lakewood whom I'm very careful not to send stuff I write. I have a wonderful story about that, but I'm not going to waste your time with it. Any event, what was the question?
What's in this book? What texts are there, and
Oh,
why?
right. Okay. It starts off with Rambam's Ikarei Emunah, his 13 principles of faith as found in his commentary in the Mishnah on Perek
Okay.
Chet, the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin. Now, there's no doubt that Rambam took these Ikarim seriously, but not as seriously as subsequent generations of Jews have taken them. And that is totally lacking in the Art Scroll presentation of the
A
Ikarim.
topic about which you've written in the past,
Right. I've written in the
which
past.
has been reviewed earlier in the pages of tradition, but many years ago.
Well, you're on top of things. And also, the translation does something I thought interesting and, from my perspective, wrong. It uses the two well-known poems based upon the Ikarim, Anima Amin and Yigdal, as sources for commenting on itself. Now, the Art Scroll texts are poems. Some of the things in Yigdal, for example, are clearly anti-Maimonides. Brahma would have a heart attack over the some of the things in Yigdal in particular. And so that's like that's to take Rambam's Ikarei Emunah in the Perush, in the commentary in the Mishnah, and make it much more popular than I think he intended it to be.
It's important.
So
It's
that's one
important
thing.
to observe, for listeners that may not be fully familiar with these texts, the list of the animamins, so popular they appear in most sidurim, and of course,
Right.
most famously, the last has been set to many tunes and sung at many kumsitzes and shalshutzes. Those were not composed by the Rambam. They were a later
Right, precisely.
kind of catechism, a summary of his lengthier work, and all acts of
Right.
summarizing by definition distort, as well as then, of course, setting those 13 principles in poetic form in Adon Olam, so familiar to us from the conclusion of davening, so we should have something to sing when we fold our talis.
Yigdal, as opposed to, if I
I'm
may
sorry,
raise this,
Yigdal,
more.
Yigdal. I said the
It's
other one,
okay.
Yigdal.
Yeah, these poems, as far, look, I'm no poet, but I think they're beautiful. At least Yigdal is, but maybe because I'm used to seeing it poorly in shul for so many years. When you connect the words Kellner and singing poorly, you know you've got something that really works together well.
The Art Scroll volume uses these two more popular texts as interpretive lenses back on the
Exactly, as ways of understanding what Rambam is trying to do. Whereas Rambam's view of the Ikarim, and this is from Kellner Maimonides, okay, is that, well, Halevi, not Halevi, Abravanel thought that they were, in effect, heuristic devices, pedagogical, that Rambam didn't mean anything more than that. And I think he's probably right about that. And from his own philosophical perspective, only the first four Ikarei Emunah, God's existence, unity, incorporeality, and that is forbidden to worship any entity other than God, these are true Ikarei Emunah for Rambam. Getting them wrong means you've made a gross philosophical mistake, you've lost your share in the world to come, you're really not Jewish, et cetera, et cetera. I realize those are strong statements. The rest are historically important, and it's not clear how strongly he felt that they were really required. Nowadays, you hear this over and over and over again. You hear many authorities in the Jewish world saying anybody who doubts even one of the Ikrim, as they call them, because Hebrew is not a big point of their education, exclude themselves from the Orthodox world. from the Jewish world. I think it's a misreading of the Ikarim. So that's one thing.
Right. And
Then,
also in the volume, he has the Ma'amar Triyat HaMitim, selections from the philosophical passages in Mishneh Torah, and of course, passages from some other assorted writings that are not even necessarily familiar to those of us not in the
right.
scroll world.
So
So, so
exactly. So there is part, there are, I think, strategically selected passages from the Mishneh Torah. In other words, they left out important parts. And the parts that they.
as does all anthologizing work.
No, but an anthology will sometimes take a chapter, not bits and pieces of chapters. And an anthology, here was one of my major criticisms of Art Scroll, is they didn't bother using good texts.
Okay, now here's really part of the heart of your critique. Explain that to us and why
Okay.
it's significant.
I often use the following story, which may or may not be true, to explain what I'm trying about to say. I once tried to find out if it was true, and I looked it up and I searched on it, and I found all kinds of yes, true, and other people saying no, it's an urban myth. Whatever it is, the claim is made that the first person to translate Yiddish Shakespeare's plays into Yiddish wrote on the title page something about all the plays of William Shakespeare, parteicht, translated, und
Progressive.
verbessert, and improved by whoever the translator was. Rambam's works have been subjected to this process of verteicht, translation, fine, und verbessert, and improved. Now, the improvement comes in a variety of ways. One is the Art Scroll way of selecting, carefully selecting passages, or explaining what they're meant to be, me what they're meant to say, according to Art Scroll's view. And the other way is removing words or changing words. So I brought several examples of that in the review. That, I say they chose, they don't choose good texts. They choose the standard printed editions of the Mishneh Torah. Now, over the years, a number of important non-academic scholars have produced editions of the Mishneh Torah, in which they go back to the manuscripts, and there are a variety of manuscripts, some of which apparently are better than others, some of which are closer in time than others, some of which have over the years been shown to reflect Maimonidean position, true Maimonidean positions. So in the non-academic world, you can find Rambam Meduyak by Rav Yitzchak Shelatter, Rosh Yeshiva in Maale Adumim. You can find Rav Kafich's edition of the Mishneh Torah. You can find Rav Rabinovich's Yad Pshuta. And in the Yeshiva world, you find the Shabtai Frankel edition of the Mishneh Torah, which has footnotes or an appendix at the back
Indicates
showing other
knowledge of
it,
those textual
right,
issues.
these variants.
Right. We should say
So
all these
you.
figures that you pointed out, they were all of them rabbinic figures. They were not rabbinic
Right.
figures that are accepted in the halls of Lakewood and the Mir, but
Right.
well, of Shabtai Frankel was. But the others all Orthodox religious Zionist figures, Rav Kapach and Rav Rabinovich and Yibodel Chaim Rav Shelat, these are not academics. These are not people sitting in the halls of the University of Haifa or the University of
Exactly. That's what I said.
Port
These are
Arthur.
not academics. So there's nothing treif about their issue editions. Like I translated one volume of the Mishneh Torah for the El Judaica series. Fine, that's treif. So much so that my Lakewood family never saw it, among many other things I've written. Certainly Rav Kafich was never corrupted by an academic environment. He was a Yemenite rabbi,
Yes.
and but a true Zionist and true a student of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook. So he's trafed from that.
Yes, okay.
But he's not an academic. And Rav Yitzchak Shelat is could be a full professor anywhere in the world he wanted to, but he's not. He's a Rosh Yeshiva. So I think they're doing a disservice to themselves, their readership, and the Rambam when they don't take the trouble to make sure the texts they're using are as accurate as possible.
But so they would say, if I could channel a point of view that was also somewhat expressed in a letter that we received from a reader, which we published online, and to which you responded in your own fashion. They would say, look, Kellner and the like are interested in recovering Moshe ben Maimon of Fustat in the 12th century. We are interested in engaging in the Rambam of Brisk, to make reference to a very engaging article that we recently published in
Right.
the journal, the Rambam of Brisk, meaning we're interested in engaging the Rambam as he has been received and interpreted throughout the last 800 years, particularly by other Talmudically and rabbinically engaged learners such as ourselves. And that's fine. And this gets to the point of that old bon mot about Maimonides and Maimonides. We're just talking about different ways of reading and interpreting a figure and which layer of that monumental figure's work we want to engage with. And that's legitimate.
It's legitimate, but it's not legitimate to say you're engaging with what Rambam wrote. You're
No,
engaging with what,
I'm engaging with the
how he has
received.
been
I'm
read.
engaging with the received Rambam,
Right.
the Rambam HaKatuv VaHaMasur that Reb Chaim Brisker engaged with. I don't want to read the Rambam as he appeared in the Geniza. I want to read with the Rambam as it appeared on the table of Reb Chaim.
I understand. That is, in effect, my major criticism of the work.
But it's
That it's not a.
precisely the defense that they would give of
I
themselves.
understand that, but it's the book is not about Rambam. That's a major difference between the academic Rambam,
No,
academic Maimonides.
so they would say it's not about your Rambam, Professor Kellner, but it's about our.
Right.
It's not about your
Yeah, I
Maimonides, it's about our Rambam.
understand that. But I think that's false, because they are relying upon the authority of the original Rambam to justify. And like nowadays, the issue of Gius Talmidei Yeshivot,
Drafting
the
issue.
argument over forced yeshiva students who
So much
serve
is
in the
so
army.
much weight is put on one semi-agadic passage at the end of Shemitah v'Yom.
Right, exactly. But to take that passage from Hilchot Shmita Yovel in a vacuum and to read it as if, say, Baruch Kotler read it, is not to use the authority of the Rambam, the man. It's to use him. Whereas my work could be false, could be wrong, could be confused, but it's an attempt to get at what Rambam thought. And I realize that's not important to people in the yeshiva world. But they don't admit that. They think they are presenting Rambam. Because the book is called Kisvei HaRambam. It's not called Kisvei HaRambam Shel Brisk or Shel whatever. And that was, like, in effect, the focus of much of what I had to say in that review.
So in the
And one
review,
more, if I may,
yeah.
Rambam's authority is used all kinds of ways. I like to point out that in the late 20th century, there were two people who claimed to be, in effect, spokespersons for Rambam, the Lubavitcher Rebbe and the Leibovitcher Rebbe,
Yeshaya Leibovitz, so
the
the
Yeshayahu
rabbinic
Leibowitz. They
philosopher.
both claim to be speaking for the Rambam in our generation. To my mind, they were both wrong,
And they certainly did not recognize the Rambam as presented by the other if they were aware of what
exactly.
the other was doing.
Leibowitz was aware of
Leibovitz
the
was.
at least aware of he hated Chabad, so I guess he was aware of the other Rambam. And in a certain sense, if they would present it as you did, fine. I try to point out in the review that the academic Maimonides has all kinds of views that the yeshiva Maimonides would never accept,
Yeah.
and we don't ex I wouldn't expect them. But I would like them to admit that the Rambam whom they revere is not the Rambam of the Rambam.
Before we move on to the other works under review,
Right.
I'll just kind of summarize your review of the Art Scroll book with two quotes from what you write. First of all, you admit, and it's important, despite the tenor of much of what's black on white here in the review, open access at traditiononline.org, you really do think this is a significant move and a welcome move for all of your criticism. You write, the inclusion and treatment of the Guide for the Perplexed in this volume is an example of what I take to be a new openness in the world of Art Scroll. A cynic might have said that well, Art Scroll, having completed everything else, the Tanakh and the Tanakh and the Halacha and the Talmud and
And
etc.
the Shas.
So what's next? So there was an old Purim spiel, a text that gets circled around every now and again, the Art Scroll Shakespeare. What would
Right.
it look like for Art Scroll to translate and elucidate Macbeth, or another one in which the Art Scroll New Testament, etc. Well, at a certain point, you run out of works and you have to keep publishing things. So we'll ultimately get to every heretical text that's out there. But so soon the soon Art Scroll might be publishing the Art Scroll version of Yishai Leibovitz. Who knows? But doesn't seem
Not
like.
so soon, but
I think
maybe
they'll get to Macbeth before they get to
they'll
Leibovitz.
probably get to the Lubavitcher Rebbe before they get to the Lubavitcher Rebbe.
So okay, they're gonna go and they're gonna get to all of these texts in the Rambam. You mentioned once looking for a copy of the Mor Nevuchim in a bookstore in Lakewood and finding it, like the bottom of a shelf in a dark corner in the Kabbalah section, which is like where books go in such a bookstore to die, to go to be
Right.
overlooked, to right. But nevertheless, you think that it is, in fact, a positive and welcome development, and you're not being cynical about that, even
No,
with
not at all.
the work. But then you do point out a kind of, yeah, I mean, here's the criticism, and there's something terribly ironic about it. You say that Art Scroll indeed ignores the wealth of critically edited texts and careful translations and myriad academic studies on Maimonides in the realm of study from which the readers are carefully shielded. As we shall see, this is a good idea, since the Maimonides of academic scholarship would be deeply unsettling for Art Scroll's intended readership. So, in other words, you call him out on this, but you acknowledge the need, because at the end of the day, you think this is a positive development. Where it will lead, what the results will be, we do not know. However, ignoring such scholarship comes at a price. Mistakes in translation and in interpretation could have been avoided. It also means that Art Scroll is itself effectively anti-Maimonidean. There's the rub. There's the irony, because they're not always accepting the truth from whoever said it, as Rambam famously said. At the end of this review, you do highlight the works of a few other authors in the more yeshivish or Haredi world here in Israel or in America, who are also doing some kind of groundbreaking introduction of Maimonidean classical philosophical texts to an audience that may have been formerly a little less engaged with them. And without touching on each and every one of them, the final section of the review points us to a new edition of the Mor Nevuchim in Hebrew. So tell us about that, this Rabbis Cohn and Reinman, who are putting out this, I'm sorry, this edition by Rabbi Yehuda Siewold and Avram Scheinfeld and Yosef Kahn from an institution here in Israel called the Machon Hagut V'dat Yisrael.
You know more about them than I do. Seriously,
Well,
but
for purposes of working together on editing the review, I had to make contact with Rabbi Siewold, who seems to be
okay.
quite a very interesting figure.
Here are people who so far as I understand, come out of the B'nai Brak milieu, we'll call it. And yet, in order to prepare their edition of the Mor Nevuchim, they approached professors. So these professors are themselves Yirei Shamayim, least I'm
No,
not sure that.
but not all. They also make contact. They acknowledge a professor from the University of Chicago Divinity School,
Yeah,
who.
but he's a from guy.
Oh, is he? I see.
Yeah,
I didn't know
Robinson.
that.
So, but I'm not sure that's an issue for them. I was actually very, very impressed. First of all, it's a beautiful piece of work. And they have presented texts. I have it right here. Oh, typical. It's a heavy book. I mean, they have Perushim that you can find if you're really looking in the 1870 Warsaw, I think it was, edition of the Myrna Bochim, but they're all in teeny tiny letters, and very hard to read, and no, nothing's we use nowadays help us read things, periods, commas, parentheses,
Well, as was the
etc.
fashion in publishing rabbinic texts in the 19th century.
I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying this new edition is much more user-friendly. And it's just beautiful the way it's presented. Plus, they have Moshe Narboni. The only place you can find Narboni is in ancient books or in Shloshah Kadmonim Mefarshei HaRambam, which I assume all this stuff is available on HebrewBooks.org, but it's not available easily. So they are exposing their readership, not in an elucidated fashion, to actual
The
philosophical
art
texts.
scroll
Now,
map, yeah.
Art Scroll tries to, I think, protect their readers. These people don't. I mean, Moshe Narboni is one of the radical readers of Rambam. His Rambam is more Rambam the philosopher than my Rambam the rabbi. But it's right in there. So that's a very, I think it's a very impressive development.
Okay. Speaking of Rambam the Rabbi and heavy books, this brings us to the new translation, The Guide to the Perplexed, published by Stanford University Press, 700 plus pages, translated by professors Len Goodman and Philip Lieberman, which you say will now be the new gold standard in translations of the Guide, replacing the long-standing Shlomo Pinas edition, which we're all familiar with, which had supplanted the Friedland
Friedlander.
translation, which whose only advantage is that it's the only text that's freely available online, so people often have ready access to it, and you still see it sometimes get used. It would be wonderful if the Goodman Lieberman translation was made publicly available, let's say on the website Safaria or elsewhere. That would be a great boon to st students of the Guide, but I understand that Stanford University Press might have different ideas about that. So tell us about the achievement of this book. In the review, we should say you do a number of side-by-side comparisons of the Pinas translation and the new translation to show both its elegance and understandability, but its usefulness to the reader.
First of all, Gilui note, how do you say that in English?
Yeah, so a
I'm
full
no
disclosure.
Arabist. Yeah, full disclosure, I am no Arabist. And so I did not review the translation itself. I reviewed the context of the translation and compared it without talking about the detailed analysis of the Arabic text to the Pinnas translation. I think the advantage of Lieberman and of Goodman and Lieberman is manifold. One thing, the English is much better. Shlomo Pinas, Olav Shalom, was a wonderful human being by all accounts. I never really knew him, and a magnificent scholar of Arabic and Greek philosophy, and of the Jews who had written in philosophy before the Rambam, but he was not a native speaker of English. And he had this, he followed Shmuel Ibn Tibbon almost in this philosophy of translation that you try and be as rigidly
Matching the original text.
matching the original as much as possible, right? So like he's consistent, which is good for people who want to know what the Arabic behind the English was, but it's hard for the English reader to know what Rambam was talking about.
It doesn't allow the translator the flexibility to understand that, a word in one place has
One
one
sense,
sense and in
right.
another place it has another sense. And you point to the use of the Arabic word Sharia,
Right.
which Lieberman and Goodman think should be translated as Torah in many cases, and as law or norm in other cases. But penis kind of got locked into always referring to it as law with a capital L.
Right. The capital L business made me crazy because it made it sound so Protestant to my ears. Law as opposed to spirit, that kind of thing. So that's one way in which I think the Goodman-Lieberman translation is a vast improvement. A second way is that they agree with me. Rambam was a rabbi.
And they do this by recovering and filling in what in the penis edition is very, very scant referencing work.
Right.
And they really, really do flesh out the degree to which the Rambam was drawing on rabbinic sources.
Exactly. And previous Jewish sources in Jewish philosophers and primarily, look, the Maran is a text which is just chock full, not only of verses from the Torah, but also of passages from the rabbinic texts, parts of passages. My colleague and friend Jim Diamond likes to show the way in which Rambam uses these rabbinic texts in order to, in effect, use them to make use of them in his writing, and the how they often reflect the choice of a particular text as opposed to another will help you understand where Rambam is coming from and where he's going to. So that's the second way in which this translation is very useful. The third way is as a commentary, which Pittus chose not to do. Now, the commentary in some places is very long and perhaps needlessly so. That's a matter of taste. But it's there and it's very useful. So those are three ways in which I think this text is, this new edition is going to be very useful for many, many generations to come.
Now we didn't review, we make mention of it in your review. Goodman simultaneously authored a companion volume, a reader's
Right.
guide to the Guide for the Perplexed, also published by Stamford. And if you could just give us a taste of what he's doing there and what his project is in that book.
The project there is, in effect, to present. If Rambam were asked to speak and say, "Okay, tell me what's the upshot of the Guide to the Perplexed, and why should anybody bother reading it?" I think that's what Goodman is trying to do in his book. Parts of the thing that I found, to my mind, particularly useful is that the late Leo Strauss convinced far too many people that Rambam could not have been both a philosopher and a rabbi. And he had to choose, so he chose to be a philosopher. By rabbi, I don't mean someone with a smicha, I mean someone who was totally, fully, and committed to the Jewish tradition, believed it in a certain way, etc. And so an important part of the Goodman Guide to the Guide is I think, a very elegant refutation of Strauss. That's a
That book
big
is
chunk of the
called,
book.
that book also by Stamford is called A Guide to the Perplexed, A Reader's Companion to Maimonides' Masterwork.
Right.
That's deserving of attention as well, but there's only so much of our Maimonides that we can cover in the pages of tradition. And we're very grateful to you, Menachem Kelner, for all of your many contributions. Personally, I'll say your friendship and encouragement to me and to what we're doing at Tradition. I'll just also add that you're joining us, of course, from your study at home in Haifa, where you've made your home for these nearly 45
44
years.
years. Yeah, right, 45, right.
And we're grateful that we've had this time together without you having to scurry off to your safe room because of the sirens and alarms that
Sure, yes.
unfortunately you folks up in the north have been suffering through these many, many, many days. And we all hope for quieter times. And we thank you, for reminding us of the need to find balance in thinking about Maimonides, Harmonides, the rabbi and
The
philosopher.
philosopher. Thank
And
you very much. Let me just
enjoy.
say one last word. I've written to you about this personally. You and your colleagues have turned Tradition into the most exciting Jewish journal available.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm privileged to be part of that world.
Well, we're happy to have you in our pages and look forward to having you there again soon.
Thank you
Thanks
very
very
much.
much.